Let's pray and then we'll go. Lord, thank you for being our God. And Lord, you're our God, whether we choose to acknowledge that or not. And that's true of everyone. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And as I read in Romans yesterday, even the believers will bow to the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for every action that we perform. So, Lord, we're going to be held accountable, and help us to let the Word of God govern our thoughts, our deeds, our words. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we study the Bible today in the area of meditation, that we may our minds may be overwhelmed with your truth, and may it govern what we think, what we say, and what we do. Bless us for your name's sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Bible saturation is the overall discipline that we've named. I'm filling myself with God's Word. I'm immersing myself in God's Word. Oh, notes, I'm sorry. I mean, like, I don't have a cigarette. Can't help you there, buddy. But there are guys in the Army who come up and do that. And it's like, sorry, I don't smoke. So, sorry, Lynn. I didn't mean to make it look bad. Anyway, Bible saturation, week number 5, Bible deepening. We've looked at Bible reading, both public and personal, Bible feeding, Bible treasuring. Now we're in Bible deepening. There you go, Jeff. Good to see you, man. Turn the heat up out there? Okay, what does meditation mean? Boy, I tell you, this study kicked my tail. It was harder than I thought. Why do you think that is? Well, let me tell you. What do you think about when you think of meditation? Huh? What was your first word?
Quietness.
Oh, I thought, okay. I thought he said blankness. I was like, you need to go to Fairfield for a while, buddy. Oftentimes when people think of meditation, they're thinking of transcendental meditation, which is blanking your mind. Okay. See, you've already reached karma at that point. If karma is blankness, I am there. But the hard part about meditation, I found is people misunderstand meditation. They're thinking, I want to use the term aum. You know, aum. Okay? And so it's misunderstood from the get-go, because that's all we hear about meditation today is, oh, do you meditate? And it's like, what Eastern religion do you follow? You know, you immediately go that way. But what's interesting, too, is it's an Old Testament focus, I guess. You don't find the concept in the New Testament that way. And so I'm like, what? And so for two things, I had to go to the Old Testament in Hebrew, which I'm not adept in, which is very hard. And Hebrew likes to use compound words, which makes it even harder. Like smashes two words together and they don't really relate to each other at all. But the New Testament, by and large, is absent, at least using the term, okay? We'll get to there a little later. And I did a study of, and there's multiple words for meditate and meditation in the Old Testament. There's two, I'm summarizing two groups of words here for you. That's 7 or 8 pages of results in 2 lines here. Number 1 is talking to yourself. And some of you say, I've been threatened with action that involves a white jacket with no holes in the sleeves. Because I talk to myself. But meditation, from an Old Testament concept, one of the words means, has the idea of talking to yourself. It's muttering or speaking, and it's kind of the idea of talking the word to oneself, and it's hagda. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but it's probably close. But it's an onomatopoetic term, which, what is an onomatopoeia? An onomatopoeia, the word onomatopoeia is not an onomatopoeia, by the way. The term murmur is an onomatopoeia.
All syllables have the same.
No, that's a good guess. It is. Valerie.
Isn't it a word that sounds like what it
means? Yeah, it sounds like what it means, like growl. Is an onomatopoeia. Murmur, 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 murmur. It is an onomatopoeia. And there's a hagda, you know. But it's the idea of murmuring. And it's actually used in the Bible of the growl of lions, the mourning of doves, you know, and low thunder even. So it's kind of a rumbling or a murmuring. But think of it as something going on. That's the idea. It's someone talking to themselves. Now, think of it in Old Testament terms, though that's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And our memory verse that overrides the entire discipline is, this book of the law shall what? Shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. It should be in your mouth. You should be talking the word of God to yourself. You were asking about that. Remember I said we get to that? It talks about it shouldn't depart from your mouth. So you think it should be your mind, but no. The concept of meditation is that you're talking out loud the word of God to yourself. Maybe it's in the process of memorizing it, but it's also in the process of thinking about what it means. That's what meditation is from a biblical standpoint. The other word is reviewing constantly. And I'm oversimplifying here, but reviewing constantly. I'm lost there. I was looking for a pen for you, Jeff, and I don't see one here. Anybody got a pen for Jeff? I could give you one. Yeah. It's like... rehearsing over and over in one's mind or outwardly talking. And it's the idea of occupying one's attention. Remember, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will talk about it day and night. And it's reviewing it over and over. How do you learn anything? Yeah. Parents, have you ever told your kids something once? Did it work for you? I'm like, you know, sooner or later, it's got to find a hole and sink in somewhere. But even as simple as tying shoes, my wife, I teach my kids how to tie shoes the way my mom taught me how to tie shoes, and she's left-handed, and my mom is left-handed, and my wife says, you tie backwards. I don't know. It's the way my mom taught me, but it took a while to get it. And then with my kids, it's they constantly do it till you get it. And now I'm not still thinking, okay, and the rabbit ear go around. Pull. I just do it without thinking, right? But you do it until it becomes second nature. And that's the way you learn biblical truth as well. Even driving or whatever. Jane's birthday was yesterday, and Susanna and I went to pick up, she had requested Casey's Pizza, which for us, we think that probably the Married Supper of the Lamb will contain meat galore pizza. It's a theory, I don't have any biblical proof. But But we just enjoy pizza. They put a lot of everything on it, so that's what we like. So Suzanne is driving, and it's a little harder for her. She's 16, and it's not second nature yet. She has to think out loud and, you know, where do I go now? Where am I turning again? You know, well, we're going up to this road and taking a left, you know, things like that. Whereas driving now for me and probably most people, they probably don't pay enough attention. You know, I'm driving on the freeway and there's gals talking on the cell phone while they're putting their makeup on, while they're sucking a Diet Cola. And I'm like, how do you do that? Yeah, they don't. There's an accident almost every day on the freeway. And it's like, and you can tell people talking on their cell phones and stuff like that. And it's just like, yeah. And it's like, folks, it's a 2-ton vehicle or maybe even a 3/4-ton car. That's more dangerous than any shotgun I've ever been around, you know, things like that. But anyway, the idea, God wants us to be reviewing the truth up front in our minds. And that's how we learn it. And that's how we come to understand it. But it's over and over again. And I don't believe, and this goes back to a little bit of a soapbox thing a little bit, I don't believe we teach that way in most churches. I always teach this like it's like flying through Philippians or running through Revelation or racing through Romans, you know, because we want to fly through it. Well, instead of letting it sink in, because it takes time to let it sink in and work into our mind. Okay, but we need to review it constantly. That's the two groups of words used in the Old Testament primarily for meditation. Talking to yourself and reviewing constantly. We cannot become fully committed followers of Jesus Christ that understand His Word and let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly if we are not meditating on His Word, because it never becomes part of us. I'll use an illustration of a book that I read quite some time ago now. Some guy was a forward air controller in Vietnam. Forward air controller, they can be in the ground or in the air, but he would fly a plane and direct the other aircraft to bomb or to strafe or whatever. But his idea with regard to the Christian disciplines and so on is they have to become second nature. And he used the idea of like landing a plane in the fog or in the rain, which was very common off of Vietnam, of course, but you had to trust your instruments and it had to be second nature to you. You had to do it till it was part of you. And that's what Christian truth has to become. The Word of God does not change you because you heard it preached once. The Word of God changes you because you mull it over and over until you start thinking God's way rather than your way. It has to become second nature. It has to be like you. How many tied your shoes today? How many had to look at a manual? Come on, Ted. Yeah, no, serious. Kids, parents in our day have it easy. But it has to be second nature. You know, and you can do it at any level. What's a cup of flour? You know, you got to know that, oh, this is the cup and this is what the symbol for that. I don't care what you do. It has to be second nature to be effective. Whether you're in sports, whether you're typing. You know, I had a 9th grade typing class. You know, and you're like, K, K, K. You know, you start out that way. But after a while, you're not thinking. You're just looking. Okay, it has to become second nature for you to be any good at it. The same is true for biblical truth. So that's meditation, and you're thinking about it over and over. And that's what we encourage you to write stuff down, take it home, review it, pick something out, and chew on it deeply. Let her be here. What do we think about? We won't have time to read all of these because we have food to eat, right? Priorities. We have first things first around here. What do we think about? Number one, upon God Himself. Psalm 63:6. David says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Psalm 145, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. I tell you what, I was reading a book yesterday on time and starlight. Because that's one of the evolutionists' arguments is, well, how can something billions of years away, light years away, which you can't even fathom it, time and distance and all, how can that be true and we're only 6,000 years old on Earth? You say that. And this guy is a Christian cosmologist. He studies the universe, you know, he studies space and all that. Amazing stuff. Did you know, we'll get into this more another time, but the farther away from gravity, the faster time moves. Did you know that? Even we have standards, the Boulder standard, the clock there, and there's one in England, Greenwich, is it? But that the one in England's higher up, and it actually runs 5 seconds, milliseconds faster than the one a mile lower in Colorado, or vice versa, one of them's higher than that. But there's all kinds of stuff. I'm sitting there and I'm reading through this book, and it's on a level that I can understand. But it's like you're just like awestruck by God, and all of a sudden you feel even tinier, and then you start understanding what David thought a little bit and saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, that you even care about him?" But the ability to God to speak something into existence and create something is mind-boggling. By the way, just to give you an idea of space and time, I heard a guy on the other day on the radio said he was talking about the national deficit. But just numbers. If you're talking billions of light years, that's 186,000 miles a second for that many billions of years. He said if you count out loud at a normal pace, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it'll take you 32 hours. 32 days to count to a million nonstop. 32 days. It'll take you 32 years to count to a billion, just 1 billion, counting out loud at a normal pace. Can you imagine billions of light years? By the way, it'll take you 32,000 years counting straight nonstop to count to a trillion. And the bailout was almost $1 trillion, just so you know that. Just that one, and they're still bailing. So, like, but God himself, you start understanding how amazing God is, and it brings you into a right appreciation of who he is. Whether it's his majesty or his holiness, remember his primary characteristic that the seraphim shout out night and day before his throne is holy, 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 right? It's not love, love, love. It's not justice, 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 though those are both true. It's holiness. Try pondering that for a while and see what it does to your life of temptation and sin. What do we think about? We think about God himself. We think about upon God's works. On God's works, the Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. David says, I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Psalm 119, make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wondrous works. Psalm 143, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. It uses two words for meditate. That's what the numbers are here. By the way, they're Strong's numbers. I muse on the work of your hands. We're to be thinking about what God does. Number three, we're supposed to also meditate upon God's word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 119, a lot of Psalm 119 is the Word of God chapter, 178 verses. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Over and over it states things like that. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So what do we think about? Number four, we can meditate upon evil as well as good. Remember we talked about in the editorial part of the class this morning? About people being choked through cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. your meditation can be displaced by other thoughts. We joked around with Albert Einstein. Someone asked him about his phone number. We mentioned this last week, and he walks over to the phone book and looks it up. And then he goes, why fill your mind with worthless trivia? We can also fill our minds with wrong things. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That would be rubbing shoulders with the wrong crowd. Standing in the path of sinners, being where they are, or actually becoming them, the seed of the scornful. If you do not think that you are influenced by what you read, watch, view, or the people you hang around, the Bible would argue something different. There's other words that use the concept of meditation. They're plan, deception, they devise violence. Those are the same word, plan and devise. Muttered, there's Isaiah 59:3. Muttered is the same, one of those same words. The talking to yourself, the onomatopoeia one. So what do we think about? We need to think about God, God's works, and God's word instead of other things that are improper. It's you cannot think of good and bad at the same time. Letter C here, why meditate? And these are all from God's word. These aren't our ideas. Number one, to please God. To please God. It includes our purposeful intent. We're doing it in order to please God. We're doing it because we're choosing to please God. That's what we mean by intent. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we would understand now a little more that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart go together more than we probably thought of before today. Right? Because meditation involves what we're talking about. We become what we're thinking about. And we say, let it be acceptable to you. By the way, this is in the same chapter of the Law of the Lord chapter. Psalm 19. Psalm 104:34. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. So again, there's the intent. I want what I'm thinking about to be sweet to the Lord. It isn't just our actions. It isn't just our words. It's what we're thinking about that we are to honor the Lord with. And again, I believe that God is largely displaced in the minds of believers. We don't expect unbelievers to think about God, do we? I wouldn't think so, but believers certainly should. Number two, why meditate? To be able to obey what God tells me. To be able to obey what God tells me and receive the blessing that comes, the blessings that come from obedience. This goes back to Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. You cannot follow God if you don't know what it is required to follow him. Okay? Our own understanding won't lead us in the right direction. And also, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And folks, that's from God's vantage point, not the world's vantage point. Following God might lead you to have less money rather than more money, okay? It might have you not be promoted or not be recognized by the world. But it's from God's vantage, if you will, from an internal perspective. Why meditate? To be able to obey what God says and receive the blessings that come from obedience. Number three, why meditate? To understand what God has revealed. To understand what God has revealed. Psalm 49:3, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. How do we come to understand fully what the Word of God is teaching? You know, a lot of people put it on the pastor's plate to make application for the Word of God in their lives. The Bible doesn't really teach that. The Bible puts the monkey on the back of the individual believer to meditate, to concentrate on the Word, and to see where it applies in their life. And that comes over time, not from a sermon in a pulpit. Sermon in the pulpit is stimulation and information, but it does not get you to application. You have to do that. You have to think about things and then ultimately put them to practice. Questions on page one. Bear.
Yeah. Blank after number four. Choose the
good. I'm sorry. You can meditate on evil or good. Choose the good. But you're going to meditate on something. So pick something good. Fill your mind. Immerse your mind. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Day and night is over and over again. Which we're going to talk about. We haven't talked about that yet. That's on the back side of the page, which is where we're going now. When to meditate. Number one would be, oh man, let's try and guess this one. Yeah, night and day will work, but let's use day and night.
Before you go to bed.
Actually, that's coming up. Joshua 1:8 seems to indicate it's all the time, day and night. So, asking someone, did you have your devotions? That's okay. In fact, number two is going to deal with that a little more. But the Bible says you should put stuff in your mind so you can carry it with you all day and all night. It should be things that are percolating in your mind. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. It doesn't mean once in the day and once in the night. It means all the time. Psalm 1:2, but his delight, the one that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but on... In contrast, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, all the time. And how can we do that if we haven't memorized or haven't filled our mind with that? We cannot. That's why we did memorization before meditation. Psalm 71:24, My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. And the idea of talk there is the word for meditate. It's to mutter or utter or growl. I guess if you're grumpy that day, you can growl the Word of God. But you shall talk righteousness all the day long. You're supposed to bring up God. And it's to other people, but also to yourself. We're to be talking about God to ourselves. Psalm 119:97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. The idea, all the day long. So if you think of it as a concept of devotions, that maybe is putting something in your head that you can concentrate on throughout the day. Number two, this is kind of where Wayne was going, in the evening, and I just put it because it mentions that in a specific time. You know, all the day long pretty much covers it. Day and night covers it. But it seems like a specific time as well, and we'll bring that up just a little later. Genesis 24:63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. That's when Eliezer was going to pick up his bride. That would cause you to want to pray, wouldn't it? Lord, make her pretty, or whatever, whatever the case might be. We'll talk about that verse a little later. I actually put it in here. This word used only once in the Bible implies walking around while thinking or praying. Okay, we'll be back to that a little later. Psalm 63:6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate you in the night watches. Now this is something to think about. What do you do? What's the last few things you do before you go to bed? And you watch the news? Pills? Take pills? Let me suggest that the Bible would encourage you to fill your mind with some things of the Lord. Read a passage from the Bible. Do your Bible reading at night. And I'm not saying don't do something in the morning too. But Would you affirm that oftentimes what you go to bed thinking is what you think about all night long? Have you ever thought? You'll probably run me out at Dodge. I haven't done this for a long time. Not in a full way. But there's times when I'm just exhausted. I've studied, but I don't have a... I'm full of the word, but I don't have an outline. My wife would think I'm crazy, and I'll just go to bed. But my gears are still turning, and I'll wake up in the morning, and I have an outline. And I don't believe that's an inspiration thing. And like I said, I haven't done that in a long time. But a lot of times I'll just fill my brain and then go to bed because I have stuff to think about, and now I can sleep. And my brain, I don't understand it all, but my body's exhausted. My brain is wore out. But something there doesn't sleep. And I'm not saying I'm doing it consciously as much. I wish I could remember what I think about in my sleep more. It seems way more intelligent than when I wake up, doesn't it? Like, what did I do or say? I mean, I seemed so profound when I was asleep, and now it's like, you're kind of doofy. But I'm not saying prepare your messages, but I'm saying fill your mind with things. Get enough in there so it's what you're thinking about when you're going to bed. It seems to bring up all day long, day and night, but it seems to emphasize specifically a specific time to think about the Word of God. Work on your memory verses or something then so that you're thinking about it. So then at night you're thinking about the verse rather than go Hawks or what, you know, whatever. And I'm saying it's or not, right? Depending on who you're rooting for, the Badgers. Have they played this year?
No, not very well.
It's like they haven't really played. They've just showed up. But but I'm saying whatever you focus your attention on is what sticks with you in the night. Now, I'm not saying that's some magical formula. I'm not talking any magic at all. All I'm saying is the Bible seems to emphasize the evening as a way to fill your mind, that maybe it has more benefit than you realize. Psalm 77:6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. And my spirit makes diligent search. It's like David focuses in the evening on the Word. Psalm 119, my eyes are awake during the night watches that I may meditate on your Word. I spend a lot of my time in the evening studying the Bible. And I think that's a benefit to me. Partly because we are a family of night owls. And I don't know when it was, several years ago, when we finally said, you know what? We're not waiting for everyone to go to bed. We're going to bed ourselves. Okay, somewhere along the we crossed the barrier, but we have kids that are up till 1 or 2 in the morning, and that's okay. You just you're getting up normal time though, but fill your mind with the Word of God before you go to bed, and see what that does for you. You sit there and watch a movie, you sit there and think of the movie all night long, don't you? At least parts of it, some nights anyway. Whatever in your mind. But that doesn't discount other things. But remember, whatever you put in your mind, you're going to replace something else. It's going to take precedence. So something to think about there. So in the evening is number 2. How to meditate. How to meditate. Well, it involves continuous purposeful thinking. You have to choose to do this. Psalm 1:2 is, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, I meditate day and night. And I have that, see verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're saying no to worldly influences. It's not talking about not going to a worldly counselor. It's people of the world and influences. You're turning off influences of the world. We're standing in the way of sinners. Now you don't have to go to a different geographical location to be among sinners, do you? You can invite them into your home electronically or sit in the seat of the scornful where you're actually practicing what they're doing. We are influenced. continuous purposeful thinking. It's saying no to things and saying yes to things. Psalm 119:97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. It's setting our desire on the Word of God. It will not come by accident. It will not come automatically. Disciplines are the idea that you have to learn discipline. There are things that you have to learn. They do not come. There's no such thing as automatic pilot in the Christian walk. Continuous purposeful thinking. Number two, spending specific time focusing on God's Word. All of these have to do with the nighttime. So they're the same verses. On my bed in the night watches, spend specific time. Meditation can be part of your reading time. It could be part of your memorization time or whatever. You don't have to have a separate meditation time, but you do have to fill your mind with the Word of God in order to meditate. But spend specific time focusing on God's Word. And I encourage you to do it in the evenings. I know a lot of people say do it first thing in the morning, and I'm not against that. I'm just saying I think evenings are an important part of that. Singing the Word. We didn't say singing the Word in front of the church. Amen? All right? Okay? But the idea is just like it, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. That seems to be a section in the Word of God. And then it goes on to say, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It seems to be something you're doing yourself, singing within yourself or to yourself. That's a form of meditation. Psalm 5:1 uses that. Consider my meditation. Lord, I'm writing you a song. Consider this. Again, Psalm 77:6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Psalm 105:2, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. You're singing to God. You're not singing to other people. They might not even consider what you're doing singing. That's okay. Number four, talking of God or his word. Talking of God or his word. Talking about him to yourself or to others is meditation. Well, meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Psalm 105:2, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Have you ever sang a psalm to God? Talk of all his wondrous works. Proverbs 8:7, for my mouth will speak truth, wickedness is an abomination in my lips. By the way, try to speak out loud when you're by yourself. Speak out loud about the Lord. It seems like there's more involved when we hear things than just when we think them. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. That's actually the word for meditate, the word studies. Meditates on how to answer. Talking about his word, thinking about how to speak. And number five, walking and praying. I like exercise. I read about it a lot. My lifestyle is not conducive to exercise or my schedule of demands. So when I am able to live without sleep, I probably will exercise more. But walking and praying, again, that word there, is he went out to meditate in the field, and it relates to the idea of walking and praying or walking and thinking. That's another way to do that. Go for a walk and have something to think about in the Word of God. The next section here is really, I'm just highlighting things. I did look in the New Testament about meditation. It really isn't there in the same way. Luke 21 uses the term, but it's promelatao. It's prepare ahead of time. It's really, maybe it relates to meditating a little bit, but not really. It's only used once. Melatao is a form of that. 1 Timothy 4, meditate on these things, give yourself to them, and it could even be the word cultivate as opposed to meditate. Paul tells Timothy to do that. So Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. And again, it's only used one time. That might be a meditation kind of thing where I'm focusing my attention there. And then Philippians 4, some of you might have thought about this one. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, and it's actually not a word that you would think of as meditate. It's logizomai, which we get logistics from, but it's to take into account. In other words, factor these things in. It's not meditate on them so much as if there's something noble and true and just, you should work that into your life, not just think about it. It's the word for impute, or to reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin and alive unto God. It's that word. It's take into account, consider, account it as so. So it's not really the meditation term of the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians 10:5 may relate to this, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That would probably be the closest thing I would find. The idea that God wants to control every part of your thinking, not just your externals. And then Colossians 3:16, we've already mentioned that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And notice it enables you to be teaching and admonishing one another. I don't believe that's formal teaching. It's you're able to share as you meditate and you concentrate on the word. You're able to encourage and uplift other people because of what is inside of you. So we did look at the New Testament in detail. The logizomai is 40 times, I believe. The others are very brief. Go ahead, Bear. Sure.
For example, under E, number 2, where you says in the night watches, you have the entire, is that all one word in the original language?
I don't know. In fact, night is supplied. It's in italics, so it's just watches.
Is that 1897?
That's the Strong's number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I identified them all before I categorized them in different spots, so. Yeah, so I don't believe it's really talking about all night long every night because we need sleep. The Bible even tells us that in Proverbs or Psalm 127. God gives us sleep as a gift, but we are to fill our minds with the Word of God. So, thanks. If you have questions, I'll do my best to answer them after class here. So let's pray. Father, help us to be those that are immersed in your word, and may it be our focus day and night. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.